We have two microphones tonight. So we need the best of order from everyone, and we need to speak slowly and clearly and loudly. I know that will come easy to a few of you. No, don't turn them on high, they don't work. And so when you do want to speak, you can indicate to me, and my assistant here will help me with this here. We'll get these notes down and bring these in as you're due in. Okay. Is that everyone now? Is that the last one? Yeah, so we'll get things off to off to start. Do we have any apologies? That's a lot of time to move on. Anyone else?
Pastor Mark.
Pastor John Tanner. Okay, so, you maybe weren't here when we discussed it with no microphones tonight. So it's important that order is maintained, and when you're speaking, you speak clearly and slowly, so everyone can understand. On the background noise, we need to keep the background noise to zero. You will be picked up on the microphone. Thank you, Councillor Kern. Right. So September we had an incident in the Golden Forest Park, and unfortunately led to the death of Matthew Campbell. I know certainly from my own point of view, some of it I would wish not to experience again as a chairman and laying my visit at the house. And I'm sure Sarah felt the same when myself and Marie and German John attended the funeral. So we passed our sympathies on behalf of the council to the family, and they were very appreciative of taking the time to come down and see them. They were very appreciative of us taking the time to come down to see them. And also we remember our staff members, Dermot and John, the job that they did in keeping beside the deceased and keeping the spirits of the injured person up until the emergency services were able to deal with them at that time. We also then like to congratulate Ronald Moore on his appointment as director of RDS. And we wish him all the best for the difficult task ahead. So we had a busy month in September. Started off with Pride in Uri. I'm delighted to have been the first chairperson to give consent to the town hall to be lit in the colours of the rainbow. With Mayo Bridge Play Park opened up, which you'll be happy to see. We also welcome Princess Anne to our district, where she visited Moore Textiles. I took part in various events to mark Men's Health Week. Unfortunately, the Down Camogues, by putting up a good challenge, were defeated in the Camogie Championship. I also attended a Geopark conference in Italy, where we were looking at having a Geopark for the Ring of Guardian Mourns and the Cal. And I have to say, we were very well received at the presentation we did. Our presentation was at 9 o'clock on Friday morning. The gala ball for the conference was on Thursday night. And at 10 to 9, there was three of us in the room. And I was thinking, this isn't going to turn out very well. The room was packed. And I think it was the most questions were asked at any session, because it was asked at ours, and the number of compliments we got on the area was superb. Killalea also had their chocolate festival, which was very successful again. And we also supported the first employee awards held by Muir Chamber in Muir. And also witnessed firsthand, as did Oksana, the benefits of Game of Thrones. Brings our district on a visit to Castle Ward to see their Winterfell exhibition. I also took part in the opening of Montalta Estate, which again is another great asset to the district, and taking it as provided solely by private money was very good for us. Also attended Ulster in Bloom, where St. Bill picked up third place, which is very credible for them. And it was the Stratford Lock and the Kale Partnership carried out an extreme cleanup, one of the metal cleanups that was done during World Cleanup Day. It was amazing to see they actually filled a full skip of rubbish taken from our shores. We also held a couple of meetings with regard to City Deal, which is now being put to the Secretary of State, and Liam will give us an update on that later on. And we also had an excellent conference, an innovation conference, held in Newry in the town hall, followed by a dinner, which was magnificent, and the town hall was absolutely tremendous on that evening. The second day of which we brought 180 school children to experience the innovation within our district, and I have to say it went really, really well. And the presentations by some of the companies that we have working within our district would inspire anyone, I think. And we finished the month off by opening Burn Community Centre, which I think the Burn is an example of how communities can come together and achieve so much. So we'll get off then to start. So are we any declarations of interest?
Chairman, just on your chairman's comments. I know that you and the chief executive were there, but were all the councilmen councillors specifically, was there a specific decision made that it was only the two council senior staff? Why were the only one councillors not in the
Sharon,
Chairman, the invite was direct invite to both the staff and the chairman. It wasn't a council run operation. It was more textiles invitation to us to join them.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Decorations of interest? None. Right, so we'll move on to the action sheet.
Okay. Chairman, the action sheet, first under Chairman's remarks, the issues over health service and the ambulance service. I know that the working groups have met for the two trust areas, I think last week or the week before that, and again, the council meeting on the 22nd of the 10th, we'll be able to pick them issues up on that, and I'm sure they'll raise as part of the workshop for members on that. Chairman, all the other actions really are underway, either letter sent, no replies yet, or replies done, and the information contained within are referred on to the other committees. So, Chairman, I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, councillors. So we'll now move on to the minutes of the council meeting held on the 3rd of September 2018. For accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11. The proposal consensus. Councillor Burgess, Councillor Highland. Any matters arising? Councillor Hardy.
Chair, just on the Councillor Martin's notice of motion, and I know that he raised here before about the amount of tyres that have been dumped on Steve Gullion. I just wonder why you're in about it. It's just laying it on the road there in the very same place that we've done. Why do we not have those tyres?
It depends on the quantity of the from my recollection, that was a large load of tyres that was dumped. Is that correct, Councillor?
Yeah,
quite a bit, but some of the arcs really don't this Christmas carries safety at that time.
But the responsibility lies between the council and NIEA, dependent on the type of waste and the volume of waste. Now I'll check with our officers. This may have been reported to NIEA as an environmental crime, cross-border crime, which would be the responsibility of NIEA. But I'll check exactly what the status is and come back to you.
Chairman, I was up that road across the valley this morning. I know there's a number at Ballantyre viewpoint, and the last time the issue was dumped at Ballantyre viewpoint, it was an issue from Forest Service.
Okay.
I know there's one car sitting on the road, which we picked up on. I picked up on this morning.
We're in on the ring road, we're actually going to the three different European tires that have been dropped under there at some time. And to be honest, I know that it's through NIEA ourselves, but there wouldn't be that many of us in there. It's a ring in there that's worked on. And between us, it's a ring on the road, we're actually talking to you. That's the busiest scenic place in the South Island. And it's a disgrace of what I get there on and on. And if they're along the road, they're easy access. And as I said, I don't think we're having any chance to do that.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Highland.
In the days that RED News, there was very worrying articles from residents of Pretty who were making complaints about incidents happening in the park, which they were extremely concerned with. They included the golf site.
Illegal taking of drugs. I just wondered what our officials are doing with the response, and how would they recommend that they Chair, we are aware of those instances, and we discussed them even with Forest Service at a recent meeting. We would advise those are actually illegal actions that are being reported, and we recommend that residents report that directly to the police. They can certainly advise us off that we would be referring those directly to the PSNI for action. Sure, it's not within our remit or our gift to take action on those, but we will certainly continue to liaise with PSNI in relation to the instances.
Thank you, Councillor Hill. Not everything. So we'll move on from that to the special council meeting held on the 28th of August. Again, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Closer. Chuck Sandwich. Councillor Hill. Chairman of Horizon.
Yeah, Chairman, maybe I can just take this opportunity maybe to update members that they're. CD Council Reference Group met to overview progress. Agreed that there had been no substantial change from the council meeting, and we're happy to keep progress on that. Now, as you referred to yourself, the proposition has been submitted to the Secretary of State. There is now what we now is start the lobbying process to make sure that the government of the UK actually backs the deal and puts the finances into it. There is a meeting with all the councils on the 24th of October at Westminster, whereby there will be a lunchtime event to actually lobby for support for the deal. I'm recommending, Chairman, that the CD Council Reference Group and a number of officers have been working on the various themes attend the meetings. So, Chairman, I'd like to propose your second of members in agreement with that.
I just want to add a couple of records quite appreciate my appreciation for the work of the office and not following them to. First of all, we have the first thing you make that last. Although the idea is not absolutely fantastic, I had it planned in the end that the exciting stuff that we might have come to do because of the report spring that last. So we'll set councils involved, we try to talk about it, and number two, that's not the last time we're going to have projects. I'm going to get the project. 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 I'm going to get
Are you having proposed the recommendation? I'll be discussing that in that council meeting there. Everybody in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay, so we're going on to the minutes of ERP on the 10th of September 2008, again for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. We got a proposer. Councillor Curran, Councillor McAteer. Any matters arising?
Chairman,
page 32, okay,
I was a little bit
up here. And
the book that you were giving out, I thought it was a report that came out at that meeting. And it didn't have the final application for 51 bedrooms. It's currently considered by the Council of Planning Officers. And I don't know, I'm reminded of the planning officers today, so I find out what progress to have to be here, because I've been asking before, and it's still good. And believe it or not, the planning, the Council for Northern Ireland, the environment, and rivers, are all planning people and staff that have friendly reason in relation to that. And the gate will be in fact, and as far back as May this year, the planners asked for information from the rivers and from the environment people, and they haven't responded to it. We can't go along with the application for foot, and I don't care for any issues with that happening. But I'd like to know now how we can focus and get from the council here, how we can get those agencies to apply so that the application can go on.
Sure, I am working with the planning section in relation to this particular application. Myself and Anthony had a discussion regarding this morning, so we will endeavour to get the responses in. We were anticipating getting it through committee in October. It's likely to be pushed out a wee bit from that, but we also continue to liaise with the developer in this case ourselves as well, so we're in contact with them regularly.
So what are you then? Who's the
I'm
glad to hear about that. That's good news.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you, Rick. So we'll move on then to the minutes of the FPNR committee held on the 13th of September. Again, for accuracy, so page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Councillor Burgess, second. Councillor O'Mara.
Not as right.
Yep, go ahead. Councillor Cummins.
Sure, it's on the item on the update on the Mary B. asset regarding the Invitation Park. Sure, I have a very serious concern about this. I know some of our party colleagues had voted to not discuss the one who said, and the reason is I've been voted by a number of people in the community. You know, the FWA said that they know that it's going for social housing for a start. You know, the anger in the community there is palpable. At every stage, we ask them not to be raised and said that we need public community consultation. You know, it just seems that we also want to do the community out there that this is a quick way of disposing the park for these councils and eradicate the name. The concern is that we will need to discuss the process for deciding what happens to the assets that are surplus. The agreement will be passed up first. When the community consultation has been completed on the park for that area, you know, nothing has been agreed as to a park to definitely go ahead because we have to do planning and everything for the park that has been suggested. So, you know, I think that this is a trial to be a quick fit for the FWA and the parties to get this through and get rid of it without any consultation with the local community. You know, that park is a central point for a lot of the community groups in the area, and where is their feedback and their input into this decision? So I would propose that we don't go ahead with the deal process, that the council carries out a full community consultation to discuss the future use of this community asset. Because at every stage through the past and every stage, I asked for clarification. I asked that, you know, the decision will be a kind of decision and that the community be consulted. And obviously, this is one way of trying to bypass all of that.
Sorry, can I just remind councillors, that item was taken in committee, so if we could avoid talking about valuation and commercial benefit valuation. Councillor Walker.
Thank you very much. And picking up from Councillor Savage, this was discussed at a great length. And the question I want to ask, why do we employ organisations like Playboard who come back with recommendations, come back after doing an exercise and don't agree with them in relation to certain parts? Now, they didn't score what they should have scored in relation to it, and one of the play parts
that would be decommissioned. Now, all this is, to be honest, is Sinn Féin wanting to keep the name of the Priest Park at all costs. So it is. We have done an exercise, we have come back, we have accepted, we have voted in that exercise, so we have, and I would second Councillor Savage's proposal that we stick with the original recommendation. So we do, because we've done it. The committee overwhelmingly supported, it was 8 to 3, so it was in relation to it. Now, this is Sinn Féin playing games here, so it is. And that's the bottom line of it. So it is. So I would second Councillor Savage's proposal.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Kenneth, I'll let you come back in when everyone else has spoken before we go to the vote, yeah. Councillor Riley.
Yes, Chairman. Chairman, it's important that we keep our eye on the ball here and deal with realities. And as Councillor Waters pointed out, you know, we spent quite a bit of money appointing a professional team of consultants to come back with proposals that the Council has more or less agreed to. You know, in an era whenever we have areas in more than our chronic for play park, it is profoundly unfair that we would have three play parks in Hale in such a close proximity. And I would remind the councillor that this council agreed that we would support a public park for Europe on land that is worth tens of millions. So, all we're asking is a wee bit of fair play here, and to start playing politics with it at this stage is just totally unacceptable. It really is, and I would agree that the recommendation should be carried out and agree with the question.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor
McGurry.
Thank
you very much, Chair.
There's
two
things
I wanted to say. I rarely miss any of the workshops in this council, and I was sat in Monaghan Row a few months ago with a book that's thick of the different assets that a council owns. And as we went through them one by one, I have to say, Chairperson, your council and councillor colleagues went, no, hold on to that. And the result of the day is what is looking at council's assets resulted in us letting go of very, very little. So what I would really want to know, I know there were a number of play parks that fell quite far below the criteria for the play board. No one's arguing about that. But can we have a list of all the play parks that are going to be put forward for the D1 process start on them? Is there a list? Is there a number of parks that have been deemed and have fallen below the criteria that are going forward for this process? Is there a number? Is it just Priest Park? Because anybody that is from the Newry South Armagh area knows that is a very historic piece of ground which was given to the people of Ballyboss many, many years ago by the Quinn Foundation. And Ballyboss means poor town, and it was an extremely built up part of the town when Newry was a thriving city with different mills and the working canal, etc. And the community there has had ownership in their mind and property on the ground for a very, very long time. So I think that we owe it to the community because of the layover, the naming of the park, where it should be there, should it not be there. The bottom line is nothing should happen with that without full consultation with the people of Ballyboss.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. The Place does the doesn't decide whether or not a playground is goes through the demon process. The place strategy simply looks at the play value of all of our playgrounds. It looks at the demographics of the children in that area, and it makes informed recommendations falling out of that, which the council has accepted. In some instances, that means the two parks will be merged into one park, one will be upgraded, the other won't. If there's three parks, potentially two of them will be upgraded and one will. All of that is subject to consultation, but it does not in itself say this park should be subject to the demon process, so I don't have a number. The question is quite right, there are an awful lot of play parks that fall below that number. That's why we're upgrading today. In this particular instance, there was more than one play park, so consultation required out on which one should be upgraded, and it was decided to do a new one. That's the play strategy in terms of the rest of the process.
So it's not just common here, any parts of sales below will sell it off?
Oh,
so
absolutely not.
Just wanted to clarify,
yeah.
So the people out there know that they're not
going to
lose the park. Are there?
Yeah. Most of them are being upgraded because they're going to lose. This happens to be a
immediate system. Sir Gordon?
Yeah, I just want to clarify from SP and all. Yes, this decision for us all has happened from the top of the NHC, up to SPWD, speaking about it. I guess we did discuss ourselves at that as well. We did say that someone should go through the demon process. Curses don't populate the agenda of the Curses speaking. So the paper from up as you know, was give up on this aspect, which is what we discussed. And I want to make it very clear, as we said it on that day, there's been a lot of discussion around the area about what should go there, what shouldn't go there. At the end of the day, it's all in time. That's what I used on SP and all, from the committee. This was taken out of it, and we are saying things that have happened in such a person couldn't happen. And that needs to be taken off the table. There is absolutely a sense of loose that that should happen with full consultation with the bylaws. This is exactly what this is about. The D1 process is to go in and ask for expression of interest, to rubbish what could happen or we don't want to happen. And actually to have in black and white, these are the alternatives for this place. I need to go back through the Dairy DDA, which Councillor Warren talked about that being. I think there's Dairy DDA that's discussed this. Many occasions throughout the next 4 months of that process. It then comes to this group to make an executive decision based on prior information. Who wants this out, or who has interest in this outlook? Who has been expressed interest? And at that point, the people of the area will have the full consultation and with our advice and made a decision will be made. There's absolutely no way, so this is not even for saying this is the easy or the SFB on the fast track and more so set it off this. The go to the DR process is invite the expressions of interest. It's got nothing to do with that at all. When the expressions of interest is in front of you and then the decision is made, absolutely, take all this for the dollar is wanted. But at the minute today, we're spending month after month after month saying, well, he's going to go there. People are kind of mean, oh, you know what's going to go there. So what? It's all part of the statements. Let's see what he's actually, it's not going to be. Bring it to the people, go through the area of the media, and then bring it back to the people. It's an exercise to try and find out what's reasonable and what's not reasonable. So the last thing saying this is trying to quit.
Well, anybody that approached me has haven't their door haven't been off tonight. I have a number of family and it's the first day. So I would like to be evidence of that first time.
Do you think those are election comments or
not? Exactly. But at the end of the day, I'm here to represent the people that come to me. So like you
said. Are you the only one around?
Yeah.
I order place now.
There's more than me.
concern. So the question is, as opposed to the people for a new park at the top of Park Row, the people that enter Martin Gardens and the people at the bottom of the hill are concerned that there's a distance that they'll have to walk, the head, etc. That's so what sort of makes the feeling like that. This is about representing what the community wants, not as peak strikes in IC, but as hypothetically representing what the community wants. So I would like to go there for
yeah, so if you bring Councillor Henry right in first, then we'll do that.
Separate subject. So
We'll just go to the vote, Michael, and listen. Here we have all those in favour of Councillor Kenneth's proposal to revert to the station. Those against? Abstentions? Okay, so the proposal that fails to not is the base for it to fail today. Okay, any other issues, sir? They're going to transfer
on
right.
Take 15 of the minutes, Chairperson. Just to clarify when the motion just was referred to the ERT is going to come up, or it was referred to the ERT. It didn't come up at the following ERT meeting, and I get to speak to it.
It's coming up at the next ERT meeting. Next month, next Monday. It hadn't the call in period, it hadn't finished. And so it couldn't be heard the last one. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, it's just turned out that some of the proposed changes to the planning committee have been received as a reason for the control call. The workshop.
After this evening's meeting, there will be a further workshop with councillors regarding the specific aspects of the operating protocol with the series of process to go through. We have, if it goes through council tonight, then we have obviously the call-in period, and then we have to go to the department for approval as well. So at that time, we look at the operating protocol around that. We know that has to be done.
Okay, so can we get a proposal in second for all the other recommendations that we haven't voted on tonight?
Sure.
Councillor Burgess? Okay. Councillor Sharp? Everyone in agreement? Yeah. So we'll move on to the minutes of Active Healthy Communities Committee held on the 17th of September 2018. Again for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10. Councillor Romero, are you proposing?
Not
ready. I'm proposing. Proposed. Second up, for accuracy. Councillor Sharp. Sorry, Councillor Morris and the Kevin Quinn first.
Thanks, sir.
You see under just the minute on paper, proposed for a lot, you had all the body home, that I raised an issue just around some confusion there was over the public consultation that had taken place. I had called on maybe the committee that was sitting for a further 2 week public consultation, not out of my own mind, but being asked to do so by the community. It was voted down 4-2 with the abstention. The only possible thing open to me was to call a public meeting in Newtown, which I did. There was 106 people that turned up. Look, I asked them two questions. I asked them, number one, hands up anyone who voted to have the pet park in James Gilman Park. Three people put their hands up out of 106. I asked them then, where did they want to put hands up again in this meeting for James Gilman Park? 5 voted for James Gilman Park, 101 voted for the youth club site. I asked them what they wanted me to do. I explained that at the committee, explained how committees work in council, I explained that having the committee come to full council, and it was coming to full council tonight. They asked me to ask all the councillors to support to reopen this consultation for 1 week, and that everyone in Newtown, if Councillor Taylor can get everybody that he represents to stand in the middle of the town and say where they want this type of work to go, that I can do the same. And it was Councillor Taylor that made a political at the committee meeting, by the way, by inferring that there were two sides in Newtown, the two communities in Newtown. It's a very serious issue. A very serious issue for the people in Newtown. I make a proposal here again tonight on behalf of the people in Newtown. All of the people in Newtown. Every person in Newtown was invited to the public meeting. It was shared on the community association page. It was shared in and around social media. It was everyone in Newtown was talking about it for that week and a half between ADHC and the public meeting going ahead in Newtown. And I make a proposal that there be 1 week of public consultation for one last question to be asked to get Newtown where they want the play park before a huge mistake is made and this recommendation is going to put the play park in a place that the people in Newtown don't want it. I make that proposal.
Can you go to second or so?
I second that.
Councillor Wharton? Or did
Councillor, I don't know how to let you sit first, but Chair, that's a very serious argument, Mr. Murray. And actually, the Chair's actually just said, we heard the Chair of the meeting, that's not accurate. I didn't make this clear. Councillor Murray said that one is making a claim here. I have made it very clear that there's been a consultation process carried out, and the results came back, and unfortunately, Councillor Murray didn't like the results. It's again some similar to what we're discussing so far, but this isn't the item on the agenda. The result didn't go the way you want, it's not going to do with the way we consult again. And I've had people coming to me about this issue, about the concerns that Jim Steen Park wasn't in, potentially going to be chosen. Because the rumours started, and I'm not going to say where the rumours came from, but the rumours were suggested that Jim Steen Park wasn't in the pick as a thing. And that was deliberately started to try and cause concern here. And I think people constantly calling on me to make sure that I hold my position as terms of support Jim Steen Park. I'm not going to apologise for that. But the people that have been phoning me about it said that that's what they believe the thing should be. I don't stand to call the public meeting or not. I don't remember Steve receiving any indication to it. And I worry about the way the vote signed in terms of why it was organised to try and overturn this decision tonight. And it was made very clear at the meeting of the process that was followed. Everybody had an opportunity to raise where they wanted to start at these consultation processes. Unfortunately, I couldn't get one because I had family grieving. I'm afforded for that. But I just am concerned because the result didn't go the way some councillors believe it should have went, but I've been open the process again, and they have opened a whole can of worms throughout this whole process of the play strategy. If someone doesn't make a decision that's been proposed, what do I do? We go out again until we get the right decision that we want. And that's a very dangerous precedent to start with this. I'm very concerned that I thought more of the environment to try and turn this into a political news official, because that's not right. I never mentioned that. The Chair can confirm that. You said that to me there, and that's not accurate. The concern that I had was that we made it very clear on the night that I didn't want any division in the community over this. That people were saying to me, and I still comment even on my own Facebook page, I made it very clear, they were more concerned with getting a play park in there rather than the site. That was the main concern for people in Newtown, getting a state of the art play park in that area. and say, I'm really, really sorry that the King was going to suggest this policy, but that's not the case.
Thank you, Councillor Chair. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I was up for a public consultation, which was an independent consultation by the table. It was in the spare me, it was in the wrong quite favor, I was here to make the issue was to recite. Now, following on from that, I didn't perceive the comments of this because of the comments that were made on that night. The comments were this is a good news story for Richard. The issue of where Fairfax goes on second and whatever the site is decided. And I got no problem with being, you know, debated out and having pros and cons of each site. But then we're confirming the independent consultation. There is an obligation on us to somewhat respect that. Going forward, I discussed this with a number of members. I discussed this with Ben Barrett himself. So I'm free full time. But the second public consultation was one that was clear that the number of people that contacted me, and I discussed this point prior, a number of people that contacted me and asked for this council on the second public consultation. It wasn't independent, and they had told themselves that they won't be taking part in this, and you know, they won't vote for taking part because that's the point of the process here. So, I understand that three of the respondents, six people, but we just, people have openly said they're not going to take part in the process. I mean, we have to take that at face value. I discussed it, you know, with members of our party, discussed it with officers, and I think, you know, my party is not comfortable in that assessment of. Following this question, how you have to accompany the down number of strategies across the cancer area, and calling the question how you improve the consultation. And I think, going through all the information, I think it is a dangerous question to say. I have absolutely no evidence that is more than 50%. And I think if you keep going forward on this, if you know that political parties are involved, which is aware of that. On that night, because far as open to all the and political parties involved in calling meeting after meeting after meeting. That then takes in an element of political persuasion, which, you know, takes it out of the hands of the people of the town. I can't say, you know, that is not respectful of the people of the town and that independent constitution. What I can say going forward is that it's the best chance to get the good reflection of what the town wants, because it's independently gone, it's done with their work, and we have to respect the results of that. Otherwise, what are we just continuing? You know, we insinuated that it wasn't accurate and that they were doing something wrong here. So, my party is a long discussion. It's not possible to call it into question the answer to the table. We would also support the recommendation here and continue to oppose the decision.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Walker?
Thank you very much. I can also. Again, from where we left off the last time, we have employed the planning board to come in to do a consultation. There was consultation events that was well advertised. I know myself, and there were well-known ones. Myself and Councillor Andrews attended every one of them. I felt aggrieved that not more groups in my area come out to support them consultations. Some of them people then, when the consultations were going through and this information was coming out, was saying that they weren't too happy.
Yeah.
And what I said to them was, what I said to them groups was, you had your opportunity to turn up at the consultation meetings. You didn't do it. This has gone through council. This has been voted on. We have accepted it. So, Councillor Taylor is right in what he said. Because the folk hadn't went, Sinn Féin's way, they're trying to bring it back in again for discussion through the back door of the full council meeting. And as Councillor Brown has said, and Councillor Taylor as well has alluded to, if we overturn this decision, and then we are setting a dangerous
treated until we are. Because I, for one, groups that I know who are moving, losing their place part, I'm the same. Pull you back to council. You ask for the consultation to be open again for another week. We have taken a decision, the committee has taken a decision, and I think we should be going with the officer's recommendation, so we should. Because the people of Coote and Hamilton at the time had the opportunity to go to the public consultation meetings. Obviously, they didn't think it was important enough to go to their meetings, otherwise they would have went to the meetings. So, our party will be supporting the recommendation as it is here.
Okay, Councillor Walker, thank you. Is that everyone? Okay, so we'll have a proposal from Councillor Walker for returning to change this decision about the consultation again. So we'll take it up to a vote. So all those in favour? All those against? Hello, all those against? Very well. Abstentions? Two abstentions.
Three abstentions, is it?
Two. Any? No, anyway.
I don't think we're going to.
Okay, just confirm that the recommendation of the committee is approved. Order, Henry. Maybe deal with the other items. So maybe I'll take an update in some section, Chairman. Councillor Sharp?
Yes, sir. Given that the RTS committee didn't take the end this month, as in previous, last council meeting where I asked about the car parking tariffs, I'm sure Roland isn't going to come up because there wasn't a committee minute. I'm just wanting assurance that the car parking tariff review will be presented this month's committee. Following the commitment that was made
in Council previously. Yeah, sure. We will bring information regarding that, and we've also just appointed a company to work with us on a more detailed consultation as per the desire of Council, but we'll bring that update to the RTS committee.
Okay, can I get a proposal and a seconder to go into closed session? For item on AHC 197-2018 and AHC 196-2018. Closed. Councillor Hammond, Councillor Craig, to second. Good ask. All those. Thank you. Okay, so West Room Committee has agreed on proposal of Councillor Sharp and seconded by Councillor Hannah to review matters back to the AHP committee for an officer's report and all potential options to be considered. So
we have agreement on all
that's again, yes. So Councillor McMahon.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I just want to comment on Ballyhale and plan for the play park, new play park provision. And as a Ballyhale myself, I just want to welcome the latest positive development of the provision of a play park in the village. We had a very productive consultations with residents, and even children have their say in what equipment they would like to see in the future. So the new location, proposed location, is supported by the majority of the residents, and it's a feeling that there is a three major facilities within the village that will complement each other. And given a rise of a sharp rise of young families in the area, we would like to see this facility up and running, and it will be a great asset for our community. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Mike Chair.
Yeah, sure, thank you. Just on the item about the current actually by the way, the current heating system by the way, you said,
okay, you're not done that one.
No, sorry, it's not due to the press. I'm just reiterating, it's not mentioned in the minutes. I don't know if it was brought up the way in my request.
Okay, so we'll move on then. So we have correspondence received. Liam, are you going to talk about
it? Yeah, Chairman, I think it's the last three paragraphs really in terms of the sort of step down. As an interim member, an expert panel of clinicians has been set to advise ministers on any applications to prescribe cannabis-based medicines. So again, this is the first step in the latest science of the evidence, and that their families have access to the most appropriate course of medical treatment. With reference to annual motion, Chairman.
Okay, and then we have an invitation and set on this.
Yes, again, seeking an officer, a council officer, and an elected member.
Yes, it's Justine McCabe is the officer. I'm looking for an elected member to set on that.
I propose Terry Anders.
Yeah,
go ahead. I propose Terry
Anders. Any other proposals? No? Everybody in agreement? Yeah, okay. Okay, so we've got a note from motion received from Councillor Highlands.
The massacre took place on June 18, 1994, in the small village of Loughlin Island, County Down. Members of the UBF burst into a tiny pub and fired on customers, killing six civilians and wounding another five, firing over 60 bullets. Ever since the attack, there's been allegations that the RUC, double agents, and informers were protected by the police, who destroyed evidence and failed to carry out a proper investigation. Despite one senior RUC man saying to relatives, the deceased, no stone would be left unturned. The morning after the attack, the getaway car Red Triumph again was found abandoned near Crossstar. On the 4th of August, the assault rifle used in the attack was found hidden on the bridge near Shinty, along with bulldogs containing boiler suits, balaclavas, gloves, three handguns, and ammunition. Arrests were made of six men in July 1984, but all were released without charge for lack of evidence. But it was alleged that the investigation was hindered by the RUC desire to protect their informers at all costs. At the time of the audit, it was revealed how, but not why, the police had destroyed key evidence and documents. The car used in the attack was mysteriously destroyed in April 1995, 10 months after the end of the investigation. In 1998, police documents related to the investigation were destroyed at Gulf Barracks, Armagh, allegedly because of fears that they were contaminated by asbestos. A hair molecule has been recovered from the car, but nobody was charged, while other objects, such as gloves and balaclava, have not been subjected to new tests made possible by advances in forensic science. A key witness claimed she gave police a description of the getaway driver within the hour of the massacre, but that police failed to record her information and never asked her to identify suspect. Now we jump forward to the events of August 31st of this year, when upwards of 100 TFNI officers were involved in the arrest, detention, and question of journalist Marion McCaffrey and Trevor Kearney. The journalists were accused of theft of confidential documents related to the Loch Nessie massacre, and yet both men were released from on custody on bail on the same night. Seamus Dooney, acting general secretary of the National Union of Journalists, said in a press statement, "The protection of journalistic sources of confidential information is of vital information, and journalists must be free to operate in the public interest without police interference. These journalists are entitled to claim journalistic privilege and seek the protection of the legal system if there is any attempt to reveal sources." It's very worrying that police attention has focused on journalists rather than the important issues raised in the documentaries that they provided. So, finally, on my own behalf, it is clear that the arrest strategy is another farce, solely directed at intimidating those who seek to expose their involvement in murder. Interesting quote from an ex-Prime Minister. He said, "A free press is the unspeaking guardian of every other right. A free man cry, it is the most dangerous foe of tyranny." And that was attributed to surely the police would be much better using their time and resources to uncover the names of the individuals who killed and injured so many innocent people 24 years ago, and arresting journalists whose documentary led here to circumstances and the individuals involved in the Loch Nessie massacre. And I'd ask councillors to support the motion.
Can I have a second for the motion?
Sure, I'll second the motion.
Henry, you're first.
Chairman, I think we must remember that the journalists weren't arrested and then bailed for simply reporting an issue. You know, there's a very, very deep aspect to this in that there seems to be collusion not between the police and paramilitary, but between unsavory people who were prepared to steal documents and ombudsmen and all types of things. The NBC were people who were never even lifted or charged or any other thing, but were named, had their lives destroyed. And sure, well, I know there's people that maybe even in this room, sure, who were involved in the issues and who have been named. I mean, I've seen names in this. I would never agree. I'll
publicly name them. And you may well be.
Chairman, it's a very, very serious thing to name somebody and destroy their lives when they're innocent people. And that's what this is about. It's not about a simple journalistic freedom. It's about a very heinous crime that's committed, about collusion with elements within the Republican movement, within government, to facilitate this theft of government. Chairman, there needs to be an investigation already, a very, very serious investigation into how this was allowed to develop, because it breaks a lot of confidence for people like me in the institutions of the state whenever we see collusion between the state and elements of the Republican movement that want to try and destroy the reputation of the police and rewrite history. And that's what they're trying to do.
Thank you, Chairman.
Well, firstly, let me put on the record that the Australian Youth Party wholeheartedly condemn all acts of terrorism which have occurred across this district. Nobody is above the law. The blame of responsibility lies solely with the chairs who walked into the House bar in June 1994. I believe that the no stone unturned election is yet another attempt by republicanism to discredit the state. The documentary, like many others, seeks to criminalise the RUC. And let's examine exactly what has led to the Durham and Staggley investigation. Documents were unlawfully removed from the Chief Ombudsman's office. This led to the Ombudsman's office reporting an alleged theft to the PSNI, who referred the investigation to the Durham and Staggley. Among the documents unlawfully removed was draft unpublished documents which contained an RUC suspect list specifically relating to the Lochinvar massacre, naming a number of individuals who had been arrested and questioned and released without charge. That same draft unpublished document containing the suspect list is the very one which was provided to the producers of No Stone Unturned. We are in danger of setting a very dangerous precedent for how the legacy of our troubled past should be investigated. What's more, even more staggering, is the fact that No Stone Unturned was based on an unpublished, unsubstantiated draft ombudsman document. We cannot allow historic legacy investigations to descend into anarchy. Most victims' advocacy organisations in Northern Ireland have their hands on suspect lists, depending on the crime. What would happen if they all decided to throw them up online without regard for established laws? The court of public opinion, trial by media, cannot be permitted to replace established legacy bodies with the specific duty of progressing these cases. The police should be permitted to carry out their investigations without any form of interference from any party. Therefore, the Welsh Union's party grouping will not be supporting this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Connolly. Councillor Craig?
Thank you, Chair. The dominating massacre of the government of solitary and a crime against humanity. I don't know if there's a reason condemning that as such. And like Councillor Highland, I would like to see those responsible brought to justice. In fact, a good friend of my brother was one of the six men who lost his life in that 1984 massacre. My friend is also trying to come to terms with what happened to his brother on that fateful day. I have no issue with investigative journalism or the rights of the law. Now, however, these documents were stolen from the police ombudsman's office. And the danger is that these documents fall in the wrong hands, otherwise, they and remember, the PSNI did call in the Durham police to investigate the Durham degree of independence on the stolen documents. And I do hope that further evidence does come to light so the prosecutions can be made. And I have no doubt that Mr. Burney and Mr. McCaffrey are professional journalists, but they have to work within their own. And for that reason, Mr. Chairman, there is a part of camp.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. I mentioned this raises some very significant public interest issues that arise from the after two investment journalists. Without prejudging anything, I think it's the PSNI or Durham Police that needs to be saying more and saying more about why this even was. Thank you.
Councillor Savage?
Yes, sir. As somebody who's working in the journalistic background, as a young club reporter, got the call that night to go to that line. I saw firsthand the horror that occurred at the House Bar. And I can safely say that the families and the anguish that I witnessed that night, those people deserve answers and deserve justice. And since 1994, those families have been stonewalled at every turn by the state, by the police investigation, and very, very, very badly that time. Because some of the information I had back in those days came to light time and time again and was reported time and time again. I also had the privilege of working with Barry McCaffrey, who worked with me in a local newspaper from his early days as a young reporter. And I believe him to be a man of great integrity and great professionalism. And on the basis that I witnessed the need for those people, then not men and their extended families, to get justice, to get answers that for over 20 odd years they have been unable to get. I believe that sometimes it needs journalism, investigative journalism, to get and unpick the barriers that have been outside the state. We may have to look at Watergate, what was done all those years ago in 1910. Without professional investigative journalists, that information would never come to light, and the leader of the Free World wouldn't have resigned. So what I'm going to say is that I saw it firsthand, working as a young reporter at that time, and reported that the harrowing events of that evening. And I know the report, one of the reporters in particular, and worked with him for many years, and I believe that they would have been acting professionally and acting in the interests of the truth and getting to the bottom of what happened most faithfully in June 1984.
Can I ask you, do you agree with all suspect names being released?
Henry,
all
the chair.
Chairman, I'm asking a question. Does this council
people
who were never charged, should their name be through any of the public domain and for people to make their own judgment on?
Have you watched the movie again?
I'm asking
you,
sir. All I'm saying, sir, is that I witnessed that night what happened. I reported that night what happened. I was the first journalist on the scene. And if anybody saw what I saw that night, they would be all behind and fully behind the people of Rockingham and the people and their families in the Hyde Park that night. And we've tried for well over 20 years, 24 years to get the answers, and they're still not there. And somewhere along the line, an investigative journalist will get a nugget of information that will unlock that truth that people need. And you know something? Sometimes that's the role of an investigative journalist and a good professional one. And sometimes that's what it takes to get to the bottom of the truth. And I believe that the people involved in that are trying that around with them, and eventually the information may come out that will lead to the rest of the injustice for the families and the people who are caught up in that beautiful life. And sure, as somebody comes from a journalistic background, of course they believe in the freedom of the press. Without the freedom of the press, we wouldn't be able to have so many things in history overcome. And sure, I believe that our party will support them.
Thank you, Councillor Stanley. Councillor Clark.
Sure, thanks for that. I agree with the sentiments of Councillor Savage. The protection of journalism is essential in a democracy. And at times, investigative journalism has to be used to uncover the truth. And different councillors have mentioned in regards to the leaking of material. The leaking of material and montages happened all the time during the conflict. With the UDI and the IMC leaked montages, and many people come sitting here's montages and doing the honesty, which then in turn would have set you up for assassination. So this went on all the time, and this is all part of the murky world of collusion. This is at the heart of this. And the families, talking to the families, indeed Emma Logan, or Emma Age, or Shane Payne, lost her father in the massacre. They are deeply disturbed that the police are focusing all the attention on journalists rather than issues raised in the documentary. And the security service, or the PSNI, can solve a lot of these issues by telling the truth. They have the truth. They know what happened. They have the material, and the issues about top bags and materials were missing. That was no accident that happened. That was deliberate collusion to ensure that the material couldn't be used in any investigation. So I don't want to prolong, I just think the arrests show, you know, the length of desperation that the security services and state forces are prepared to go to face obstacles in the way of families, all families, in regards to their quest for truth. And I support the motion of Champion's motion.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Henn, you also?
Yeah, just very quickly. I'm sorry tonight, Chairman, that this motion has taken a sectarian way because it wasn't meant to be that way at all. But the sympathy, unfortunately, tonight for the innocent, completely innocent people, six men and the five people who were injured, that seems to come out the window tonight on a certain quarter. And I find that very, very reticent, very unfortunate. I'd just like to ask for a recorded vote on this motion.
Okay, so those in favour of the motion?
Chairman, can I just ask for an intervention? Would people in the Black Assault Rifle and killed those totally innocent people? Would the people, the terrorists who pulled the trigger and killed them, is he a victim in the same terms as far as Northern Ireland trouble is concerned as the people who was laying dead on the jail?
We're dealing with the motion.
Because that's what Sinn Féin are trying to tell us at the minute in regards to the
The recorder.
Go on, okay.
continue on.
Thank you, Chair. To support the political stability and protecting the Good Friday Agreement, to maintain local borders, protecting the island, and protecting our economy and enabling future opportunities, the Board of Ireland only works based on sharing the interdependence that Brexit entails new emerging barriers to friction. Brexit exposes contradictions and ambiguities of otherwise green money. There's a trilemma within the UK's aspirational statements of which to protect the Good Friday Agreement, to maintain an open border, to lead a customs union and single market, to oppose special arrangements for NI and customs union and single market. At any one time, only two of these objectives can be satisfied at once. Politicians have failed to deliver. It's time for people to take back control. What we have seen is an abject failure of politicians to lead in the face of this crisis. Instead, they have achieved to be confined with own ideology rather than search for a consensus within the country. That extends only from Westminster, also closer to home. Only a people's vote can begin on time, this story or not. A smooth departure was assured. The easiest deal ever is no closer now than it was in Article 51 in the books. There's no European dividend of money going to the NHS. It was denied the morning after. Immigration will not be lowered. The former colonies are not going to be forthcoming this generous trade deal. Supply chains will be prolonged and the means of production will be used elsewhere. It's about democracy. We are without an executive and this without a voice, and what is the most tumultuous institutional period. Our preparation for leaving the EU is based on the two pages of data written over 2 years ago and being carried out by civil servants. This is a complete abdication of responsibility and the duty of governance by those selected to lead this society. Instead, our politicians have adhered to the safe confines of their own dogma rather than the search for consensus with the best of the country. Autocrats throughout time have used a single vote by which to steal their permanent full legitimacy. This leads to bad politics and bad democracy. To continue the will of the people to one kind of snapshot within history, this precludes the people from constantly changing their minds. Just as a healthy democracy requires constant checking of science based upon the government of the day, departure from the EU should require continuing consent of the people. I put it to this chamber, that due to a forced democratic deficit, in the absence of a strong executive and an extensionist armed team, we write the Prime Minister and recommend that this council area requires that a people's vote on the outcome of the European Union. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McQuarrie. Do you have a seconder for that?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Okay, Councillor Byrne?
Yeah. So the people's vote is an umbrella group, made up of a number of people right across the island. That's grown over the last number of weeks. And I definitely support them when they accept the final decision at their hands, and what can only be described as inept for the government. Some of the rhetoric that you hear coming out of this government is that the amount is not more than the maximum. It's a tough competition. Certainly, they cannot be delivered. Promise money, they can't be delivered. So I don't promise them very well. As I say, the amount is not more than a total maximum. Whatever side you take on this, this part of Ireland will be affected the most by Brexit. And I'm seriously saying that when you have a Prime Minister in the British government, it's more of a campaign on the Remain side, Chancellor of the Exchequer, the campaign on the Remain side. They have to now deliver an outcome that they didn't believe in the process. To try and silence a lot of the staunch leave by members of the own party. And a political thought in a Tory government is we have to just live with the results that come to the end of that. To say that the final deal should be adopted on behalf of people, the whole thing, that the final deal should be adopted by 650 members of the UK Parliament, this is the national council. And this is not about a revision of the referendum. You've heard people throw out there, many things you want to have a vote and didn't get the vote you want. I find that statement in itself idiotic. I never apologize for that term, because a referendum was held on the basis of the Catholic Murray said, and not a day. We talked about over the past where political parties put their manifesto that should be held to account for their manifesto, and I'm one of the people that believe in that song. If you hold a referendum, you can show it whatever the hell you want for a number of months, and then afterwards just walk away from the all the people that have walked away there. There's no talk about the difficulty, which is a big issue on the Irish border. You can't even get over the last week when those party conference went on in mainland England. You can't even get a straight answer out of the President of the British government. front of the movie tomorrow. I mean, the more questions you ask about it, I mean, the several things, but I'm doing this again. And we are committed. And that should be called out for the absolute nonsense that it is. You can be committed all you want to whatever. If you call it of this process that will be, WTO rules state that there will be a vote on the day. And to go against the voice of the Irish people in making a deal agreement, no, I'm sure the agreement is not acceptable. I'm sure it's not be acceptable to anybody here. Another issue that people say is it's patronizing to tell people that voted 70 and people that voted leave that they didn't know what they were voting for. Well, I say it's patronizing to say that to people. Because you have the politicians in England that are going, but you've been told you didn't know what you voted for, you've been told, yeah, you weren't voting for, you didn't understand the issue. That's patronizing to those people because anybody that states they knew what the end game of were voting for is talking nonsense. Absolute and utter nonsense. There was no detail put down and there was no discussion of the larger issues. So to come out at the end of this day and leave it in the hands, as I call it, an inept Tory government to just cobble something together. Because at this stage, you know, democracy is not acceptable to people in their own government, it's not acceptable to the EU. The backstop agreement, which we found out, you know, last week, was words to appease certain people in order to move the process forward and we can deal with the next stage of the process. Little did the government know that you can't get the next stage of the process on top of the trade deal and then dissolve it at that part of the deal. So even the discussion around the backstop is disingenuous. The whole process is disingenuous. And I don't trust anybody that's trying to do the process right now to come up with any sort of this. Now, if there's the notion that, you know, a bad deal or no deal is not what people voted for. But yet we see the British government coming out with technical analysis over the last number of months. 25 were published in August, and more will be published by Dominic Raab in the last week. Technical analysis that you couldn't make it up. It opens up in the paragraph of every single one of these technical analysis. And for example, what if there is no deal scenario, what the arrangements between the North Ireland and the South Ireland would be. Technical notice that start off in the introduction with the words, the negotiations are going very well. The negotiations are going very well and the government expects a good deal with the EU. But in the case that we come out with a notice, who believes that? Who believes the negotiations are going very well? And if that's not going very well, when it's been going bad, you know, it is a disgrace. So all these technical notices have been put together and business developers are trying to get over some of which, whether you're a farmer, taking those out on farm and subsidies and stuff like that, whether it's a small business along this economic or this border region. Do you seriously think that small businesses, I'm talking small local businesses, if you go to a really small English town, small business like the one that I have in Boston there, that they are affected by any of these kinds of numbers of fat change in their region? They're not affected. They're still trading a small charity of what, 20 miles away or whatever. The people that would be affected, small businesses across the border, that haven't got the ease of the they can't build all the time in a small business to stop off any of these changes and get to a finish. So, you know, I think more time has to be given to the people in this region. I think also the backstop was seen as a protection for the people. But I think the people's vote is a protection against the car crash. Just to finish off, I think as a local government, we're the only elected place currently for the people here. And I think that we have an obligation to ensure that chaos doesn't ensue from an audience right. And I mean chaos, where chaos is taking hold in all the region, which will affect the business that I work in and the people that I live with day to day. And chaos is no way to achieve any goal, irrelevant of your end goal. And I think anything that supports taking a decision out of the hands of this Tory inept government has to be welcome. And I will carry your support.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Hannah?
Chair, sure. The DUP will not be supporting this one. And to be quite honest, you have to listen to that little devil come out of Councillor Byrne. It's unbelievable what it is.
You're not using that language.
How to make your point?
I'm making the point that you haven't got a chance.
Yes, but you don't need to attack what a fellow counselor has said.
Well, look, that's right. I've just described what I think you should serve in this level.
In your opinion?
So the scope of time, what's the problem? This is right. Just all the counselor Warren said that I'm disappointed in counselor, like Warrior and some, and even bringing this motion. We have had it, people's votes won. The referendum was the people that votes on it. The people have spoken to the House, the one who made the UK. I know Councillor Burns.
Thank you, Mr.
One of the most sizable things that's going on at the moment is the Irish government. I actually believe they're using this practice thing to try to break up the United Kingdom, which is totally wrong. So it's the United Kingdom, it's the United Kingdom. So it's to use it as an opportunity, so to try to break it up and separate the six counties of Northern Ireland away from it is totally another way around. We are in the United Kingdom and we will stay in the United Kingdom. On the negotiations themselves, I actually believe that most of the problems that come from the negotiations at the moment is coming from the EU. The EU, at this moment in time, possibly, I don't know what they're saying in the United Kingdom, but I think all the billion in the United Kingdom are trying to tell what this border issues are. We're using it as a road across the battle of the United Kingdom. But I'm glad that the United Kingdom at this moment in time, in fact, is standing up to us. We're not going to bring up the United Kingdom over to take this. The United Kingdom survived before someone, they'll survive afterwards in the world. And I believe that after we get out of here, the opportunities will be unbelievable to the world. Yes, there will probably be a little bit of a problem with the divorce. I do honestly believe there will be a little bit of a problem with the divorce. But whenever we do get there, we will be in a far, far better place to go on. We didn't vote for a bad deal or a no deal. We voted to leave the United Kingdom.
Have no regard to the unique situation here in the north, and the strong possibility, despite what Councillor Hummel is saying, that all the progress made in this place over the past 20 years could unravel. The odds, Chairman, of a hard Brexit are shortening by the day, and it is a disgraceful situation that the wishes of the majority of the people in the north are being ignored. On the contrary, the most extreme form of Brexit is being pursued by a right-wing, racist Tory government, supported by their cheerleaders in chief in the DUP.
Chairman, there are no upsides to Brexit. Despite the nonsense being spouted by multimillionaires for MPs, a week cannot become collateral damage in a battle of little Englanders with delusions of empires more relevant to the 19th century, never mind the 21st. In conclusion, Chairman, any movement that will take us back to the brink of this madness should be supported. I support the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. There's also very strong and contrasting opinions on the issue of Brexit, and we've discussed this issue on various countless occasions now in this year. I've probably lost count on the amount of times we've discussed the matter, but you know, I certainly have concerns that this proposal for a people's vote, that the main motive of that vote is to overturn the decision that was taken in 2016 to leave the EU. The decision that was taken in June that year, it both Democratic decision irrespective of what our people stood on the matter, and as a consequence of that, we should respect that vote, and we should try to get the best possible people we can through Brexit. But I do understand that there are concerns and that things aren't going as smoothly as they could be in terms of trying to get a deal. But I have to say that the EU and the way they integrate in respect of this matter, their attitude has left a lot to desire. So I do believe the UK government is trying to find a deal that best accommodates everybody. Certainly up to now, the EU certainly hasn't been able to play a role in that regard. And it is, if we're being honest, it is playing with the people of Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland on this issue, because we've been used as a pawn in a bigger game by the EU, and that's very unfortunate, because they potentially could jeopardise the peace process that has been worked through over the last 20 years. My party would not be supporting the concept of a people's vote. As I say, the Democratic decision was taken in June 2015, that should be respected, and we all should be working together to get that best vote possible for us. That's in the best interest of the people of Northern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, and the rest of the United Kingdom. But as a consequence of that, we will not support the motion before us. I've spoken honestly about that and explained our position as to why we couldn't support that. And I'm certain that the rest of the council will take that as you well. We've covered what discussions have been so far that doesn't appear to be the case. It would be an affront to democracy, in my opinion, and in that regard, we can support it.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Riley.
Thanks very much, Chairman. Chairman, the people in this island seem to look at the EU with those tinted glasses and see some sort of benevolent friendly entity that's there to help us. Look at Europe. The EU is actually a monolith. Like the old Soviet Union, it's actually decaying across Europe. The AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland, is now the biggest Poland's very, very closely behind Angela Merkel's Christian Democrat. And the reason for that is because of the EU, because of ever closer economic and political union, people believe that their voices aren't being heard, and that the policies that the EU are implementing on immigration and all these types of things are alienating ordinary people and enhancing the whole extreme right wing across Europe. And we're actually seeing now in some areas of Germany Nazis, like they had in 1933. The same in Hungary, the same in Greece, and the Golden Dawn, and all these really extreme parties that are growing. We're seeing young people across the continent of Europe totally and absolutely opposed to the concept of the European Union. While we're continually told here in the British Isles that young people all support the EU, we're actually seeing now a movement growing in the Republic of Ireland, whereby people down there are starting to say, is this really in our interest? Norway, £9.5 billion worth of fisheries exports last year, with less fish in their territorial waters than what the Republic of Ireland has. Yet the Republic of Ireland has placed the ordinary working class people and forced them that horrible austerity to pay off German banker debt. £5 billion a year in interest, and yet the troika is still basically telling Ireland what way to run their economy. They can't even spend money to build houses to house the people that they have. And Chairman, just watch what will happen in the Republic over the next number of years. The animosity towards the European Union will grow as it has done across continental Europe. In terms of the notice of motion, I, like Glenn, am very concerned. People seem to want to use this threat of violence to deny the UK leaving the European Union by fabricating these issues about the border. There's been a border there for coming up on 100 years. There's fat border, petrol border, diesel border, you name it. There's so many aspects of our life that are changed or managed because of that border, but yet we've grown to work around it or get used to it. The Irish government and the UK government have cooperated over the last 20 or 30 years and done so well, and the people, you wouldn't even know there was a border there. Now, Kilbennan and St. Leo, whatever you pronounce his name, they say, well, they want to retain the border as it is. But Chairman, Andy Kelly, before he was forced out of Taoiseach, he was working with the North and working with London, and they were coming up with agreements that would have maintained basically what's here at the minute, that they would have come up with common sense agreements. But what does Brussels do? Then Simon and Leo was here and say, right lads, put the pressure on the Brits here because we might be able to shaft this whole thing and keep them in the customs union and the single market. That's not going to happen. We're leaving it. I'm sure all the unions will agree, that we recognise the uniqueness of the border of our situation, and that we will effectively be the UK border with the European Union post 29th of March 2019. So there will have to be accommodation and alliances made, and unionists might have to accept some difference to what happens in the mainland, but it can't be wholesale. It has to be specific and on the best interests of all the people of this island. Like happens at the minute with agriculture and vital sanitary issues that already is different from the rest of the UK. Those are common sense issues that all the people of this island agree on, but we can't agree to the Irish government and the EU using the border and the threat of violence or return to violence to try and stop Brexit. We'll not work, it will not work. And then we've got in a real sport here. Thank you.
Councillor. Did I miss you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sir, our party are generally supportive of the motion, but that's what the proposals are about. We'd like to propose an amendment, which is incorporated into the original motion. So I'll just read out what we are proposing. So that this council acknowledges the result of the EU referendum of June 2016, recognises that the majority of people in the North voted to remain, and asserts that no one in your morning voted for a bad deal or no deal that could wreck our economy and jeopardise peace with it. The council agrees to write to the Secretary of State and the Prime Minister expressing support for the growing demands that people spoke on the very for the deal, and expresses the view of the majority of the elected MLAs, who also support that there be no diminution of human rights and equality provisions which must be protected, that we cannot withstand exclusion from the single market or customs union, that we must protect the Good Friday Agreement in all of its parts, and that the backstop agreed by both the British government and the EU27 is the bottom line in order to safeguard our political and economic stability now and for the future.
Councillor Savage.
Yeah. Sir, it's obvious from this and some of the speakers tonight that there's been a lot of confusion, and I think sort of after the few subjects that Councillor Hanna had there, you never up at him and then he did the junior with him and so on. That's dead, sir. Yes, we do have a petrol border, we do have a diesel border, we do have a fat border, but most importantly, we have an invisible border. Somebody lives along that invisible border. I don't, and the people that I represent don't want to see communities on that border divided economically, socially, or any other way.
I think what we're looking at here is the fact that we have a Tory government that's implementing what he said back in the days of Pierre Brook, that the UK has no selfish strategic or economic interest in Northern Ireland. They don't care. I think we actually had somebody on the radio this morning, an MP, who said that we didn't want to impact the border between Donegal and Dundalk. I actually thought probably Donegal from both sides of the border across from each other. So that's the chance of geography and the region to know where we're going. And Councillor Eddie says, you know, Barney and the Leaven are the result of it. We are the only elected organisation here at the moment that can stand up and fight for the rights of the people along the border in this part of the world, in this corner of the north. And we have to have our voice heard, because the implications of this is one of the communities apart. People along the border are Kenyan who travel up and down the Dundalk and back and forth, unimpeded. Our young people can go off for education across Europe and come back, spend their summers picking up other cultures and learning what the world is all about. People in our farming communities who export milk back and forth across the border and other agricultural products. These things are going to bite and bite hard. And whether the DUP like it or not, the farmers are telling them they've got it wrong.
Yes, they are.
And the bottom line is that nobody, you're talking there about the EU not knowing what the UK is talking, don't know what the UK is saying. The UK doesn't know what the UK is saying at the moment. And that's the reality of where we are. Because we have a government split down the middle and they're turning sides to each other. And it's not going to come to a satisfactory conclusion for this part of the world. if we were sitting in Somerset or Dorset or somewhere, we'd be sitting there. But we're sitting here in the Sixth County of Northern Ireland, sitting with the biggest enemy we've had, their economic future, staring us in the face. And it's only right that a wrong is righted in this, in that people were asked to vote for something they hadn't approved they were voting for. We were told it was going to be millions saved in the health service. Lie. We were told it was going to have, wasn't going to have an impact on the economy and everything's going to be rosy in the garden. Lie. We were told the parcel of lies, the people who voted to leave the EU and the UK. So the bottom line is, if we don't speak up for the people in this area, the voice won't be heard. That's why this motion is important, that we send a resounding message to those negotiating from the UK side or the EU side, that we as a border community do not want to be left behind and be the pawn in a game of chess that nobody's going to win. The bottom line is that we need to protect our own economic and social interests in this part of the world. And people can say all they like, the days of going back to the British Empire and back to the colonies, that's what Jacob Rees-Mogg and his colonies are all about. Go back to the days of the Grand Old Empire. That's nearly 100 years ago.
Right.
So we're playing anyway. So the bottom line is this, let's keep the invisible border. Let's keep the invisible border. The only way to keep the invisible border is through the soft effective as we can. And that's why, if a hard Brexit or a low deal comes, the people should have the right to say, yes, we want that, or no, that's not the thing.
Answer, Sean.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose the first point that was made is a lot of people are making reference that a referendum has happened and a vote has taken place and the people have decided. But what we as councillors need to remember is that South Down voted 67.2% to remain and 32.8% to leave. So maybe those councillors in the committee need to remember that their own constituency voted to remain within the EU. And sure, where the people are saying is, you know, it's not going to be a bad deal, they're clearly not talking to financial services, they're not talking to businesses, small businesses, who are fear of losing trade, losing out on opportunities, and people fearing that they're going to lose jobs, because organisations are already moving jobs down to the south, into Ireland, where they can have the staff and that flexibility. You know, there's organisations in London that are moving their operations out of England, and actually using Barclays Bank as a terrible example. Their biggest units, they will become the biggest bank in Ireland once Brexit happens, because they have moved the majority of their operations out of England into Ireland to make them the biggest bank in Ireland. And who would have ever thought would be saying that? So those that are saying that it's a great thing. We need to remember that South Bow voted to remain very strong.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Councillor McTeer.
Are those people in the room in this chamber that are opposed even to the motion? You know, are they afraid of the very people they have been representing through here and across the water and Great Britain as well? Are those people, are they afraid of whatever the government comes out with? And I don't know why there is a great loss of confidence. At the end of the day, this really has been only, this issue has been only debated properly since the vote was taken. And everybody makes mistakes, and there's a potential at the end of the day for possibly no deal, but worst of all, the greatest potential of all is that we will suffer, and we will, all the economists are saying, here in Northern Ireland, the north of Ireland, whatever you want to call it, we stand to suffer the most. Now, it's beyond my comprehension how people would want that to happen and want to go blind into this. Is it just to be proven that we were never wrong? We were never wrong. As I said, unfortunately, since the unions and the big unions background, they were blind in 1921. They haven't regained their sight since then.
Shameful.
They don't realise that what they're doing actually is pushing the whole north of Ireland out of the UK. Even by opposing this motion tonight, a simple motion which gives a voice to the people, they are cementing, they are actually destroying their own union that they want to be on. But thankfully tonight we hear that there is breaking news that a compromise is emerging, which would possibly see a good regulation in Northern Ireland would be the same as other EU countries, and there may be some sort of a compromise coming out of that where we will see regulatory checks as opposed to customs checks, and those regulatory checks will be happening on the island of Britain, which is most a very welcome development, hopefully, if it's true. But are we going to depend on the DUP to back this, which would be a good deal for the whole of the island, and probably a good deal for Britain as well, you know, just a whole compromise? Hopefully they will have the foresight, and as I talked about earlier on, hopefully they will have a clearer vision than they had this last 7 years. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Walker.
Thank you very much. Chair. Whether we like it or not, as was said earlier, we're leaving, so we are. So we need to get our heads around that, okay? So we do. The people who will suffer most will be our neighbours in the Republic of Ireland. That's why there's a hell of a song and a dance about it. Now, we're leaving, so we all need to work together to get the proper payment. I don't want a hard border. I want it to continue as it is, because it is good for everyone. So it is. Councillor Jarvis said, South Down, Stuart, to stay, Strangford, Stuart, to leave, which includes Killaloe, Hearts of Crossgar, Ballinahinch, and Sinfield. So we voted to leave, so we did. And we hear Councillor Savage talk about that only councils that have any say in this and can represent us. Does he forget? We have 10 MPs in Westminster, so we do. That will speak up and fight for the best deal for Northern Ireland. Not the North, Northern Ireland. And Sinn Féin over there has a chance of sending 7 MPs to Westminster when there's crucial votes and they refuse to do it. So bring that party over there and votes are lost by 2, 3, 4, and 5 because of the habit of there and voting against certain aspects of it. A lot of it may have failed. So you do the blame. So you thought, for a lot of this, for a lot of this, that's been won. And I have to say, I'm glad we have 10 votes over there.
Enshrined in the Good Friday Agreement is the principle of consent, and that means pure simply that the Good Friday Agreement, the Belfast Agreement, recognises the status of Northern Ireland as part of the United Kingdom until such times as the majority voted otherwise. And also in those agreements, it's here it drops its territorial claim to Northern Ireland. So, under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement, that actually argues against this big up of the United Kingdom by Brexit. So, if you're going to argue the principle of consent is enshrined in those agreements, Councillor Gimmons, and that is until such time as the majority here vote to join the Republic of Ireland.
That's correct.
So, I'm quite happy to abide by the principle of consent. To enshrine the agreement with regards to that.
Okay, Councillor, I think we'll give another bit. Councillor McBride, would you sum up?
Thank you, Chair, and certainly the point really is to thank Councillor Hannah for only nearly being disappointed in me, as opposed to Stephen Dribble, but So thank you, Councillor, for that. I also agree with Councillor Craig and his last point regarding the principle of consent, which is really why, which makes this issue of Brexit such a difficult thing, and that the constitutional question was settled, but now we've introduced Brexit, and it's a prisoner's value to the polar opposite again, which constitutes the threat, Councillor Hannah, to the peace process. But we don't have a peace process in it. On the guard, and it's a bit of respect. I do enjoy the DUP blacking to me about the Good Friday Agreement, but I can only remember a 17-year-old getting shot at the DUP office trying to discuss the Good Friday Agreement. Going by current logic, if 90% of an electorate endorses somebody by not voting for them, but then 52% of the electorate in the whole UK have endorsed Brexit, so that's good to pay that one as well. I'm welcoming the Sinn Féin amendment and supporting the two that have been able to bring themselves to support the motion, given that it does seem in slight contrast to what the new music was on the weekend. So I really appreciate that, and I'm glad that the whole streak isn't continuing. So thank you.
I'm just reading the full motion out, can I?
Chairman, reading the motion as amended. Council acknowledges the result of the EU referendum of June 2016 and recognises that the majority of the people in Northern Ireland voted for Remain and asserts that no one in Uri Warren Down voted for a bad deal or no deal that could wreck our economy and jeopardise our peace process. Council agrees to write to the Secretary of State and to the Prime Minister expressing its support for the growing demand for a people's vote on the final Brexit deal, where no deal has been negotiated in both cases. Remaining in the EU must be an option which supports no diminution of human rights and equality provisions which must be protected. We cannot withstand exclusion from the single market or customs union, and we must protect the Good Friday Agreement in all its parts, and that the backstop agreed by both the British government and the EU 27 is the bottom line in order to safeguard our political and economic stability now and in the future.
Okay, all those in favour?
Thank you.
There was a guest. Okay, motion is carried. Okay, so the note of the motion received from Councillors Taylor, McCauley and Burgess.
Thank you, Chair. The motion being presented before the Council today reads that this Council notes that Northern Ireland has the highest suicide rate in the UK, and that over the last 10 years there have practically been 200 lives lost and families devastated in the nearing warm and down district council areas as a result of this. Provides anyone community in distress or despair the support is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Urges anyone who may be experiencing suicidal ideation to immediately contact the GP or any one of our brilliant mental health charities. Notes that funding of mental health services across Northern Ireland is totally inadequate, and expresses outrage at the ongoing political impact of STORM has meant to protect lives too. The new strategy and action plan to reduce our suicide rate has still not been established due to the absence of a local minister. It agrees to write to the Secretary of State to emphasise to her that the current situation is unacceptable and to urge her to intervene to secure the immediate publication of this strategy. Chair, we've debated a number of issues before this motion tonight, and unfortunately we will have some division on that, but we certainly hope this motion is one where we can all find ourselves in a position to support. The issue of suicide has been discussed at council previously, and it also is a very extensive and local issue. And I know that some members in the chamber have related stories and of direct or indirect impact as a consequence of suicide. And I'm very sensitive to that as well as we discuss this issue tonight. We find ourselves in a situation where the figures provided by the public health agency have outlined that the visible figure for deaths across Northern Ireland as a result of suicide in 2017 was 305. In 1998, 143 people took their own lives. That was fewer than half the number that took their lives in 2017. Northern Ireland is in the top quarter of the global league table of suicide rates, and according to a report by St. Martin's, overall suicide rates in the UK have increased by 3.8% since 2014. However, the number of deaths attributed to suicide in Northern Ireland has increased by over 18% during that same period. Suicide feelings can range from being preoccupied with abstract thoughts about ending your life, feeling that people would be better off without you, to thinking about methods of suicide or making clear plans to take your own life. It's clear there isn't one main reason why someone decides to take their own life. It can be multifaceted. Not only are statutory agency services for anyone in distress across Northern Ireland, but we have a wealth of mental health charities as well, and I want to pay tribute to all these organisations for the big work that they do. Funding here for mental health and suicide prevention has historically been far lower than other regions of the United Kingdom, despite much higher levels of need. Mental health services have historically been chronically underfunded, and only first saw increases from around 2007. And at that stage, our own party, Minister Michael McGimsey, was in post at that stage, and he certainly endeavoured to carry the way to work on this. But the man is still far from exceeding capacity. Mental health service reform over the past decade has been guided by the 2002 Bamford Review. There have been two Bamford action plans, 2009 to 2011, and 2012 to 2015, but little since. Something that has no doubt been compounded by the absence of an executive here in Northern Ireland. In 2011, Transforming Your Chair acknowledged that the Bamford Review set the agenda for transforming mental health services. It even specifically highlighted the need to focus on promoting mental health and reducing the suicide rate. On the back of limited progress made with Transforming Your Chair, the next expert panel was subsequently announced in Rolla. When it was eventually published in 2016, the then Minister, Michelle O'Neill, highlighted the commitment to achieving a parity of esteem between mental and physical health, including better specialist services, expansion of community services, and those to deal with the trauma of the past. Ever since then, improving mental health has been Indicator 6 in the draft programme for government 2016-2021. But unfortunately, because the programme for government was never agreed to due to the lack of an executive, the Department of Health is still not bound by this part. The Northern Ireland attack late suicide strategy was launched in 2006, and attack late 2 was due in 2017. Yet now heading towards the end of 2018, it remains on the shelf awaiting ministerial sign-off or publication. The Ulster Unionist Party wants to see a new 10-year mental health strategy, specifically building on the legacy of the Bamford Review. Though with the ongoing political impasse of Stormont, which has resulted in no minister signing off in Protect Late 2, the new strategy and action plan to reduce our suicide rate has not been published. We believe the Secretary of State should be urged to intervene to secure the immediate publication of this strategy, and I commend this motion to the Chamber tonight, and I hope that all parties can support this report.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McCauley, are you seconding the motion?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Just to say that I don't actually concur with what David has already said. These stark statistics are undoubtedly shocking and truly saddening for Northern Ireland and indeed our district. As a co-signature of the motion, I'm more than happy to second this motion tonight and stand up to those individuals and many families affected.
Thank you. Councillor Walker.
Sure, thank you very much. I want to commend the Minister for bringing this motion forward. There have been a number of motions over the years that come to Council in relation to suicide. Our party might be supporting the motion. And personally, friends of mine have taken their life through suicide. And that was heartbreaking when you know them people personally. And I do agree and I do think that not enough money is being channeled towards suicide and suicide charities. And I think money, Councillor Taylor alluded to mental health. I think if we start with mental health and dealing with mental health issues, it will bring the number of suicides down because of a lot of it happens through mental health issues. So it does, and I think that, you know, yes, we haven't got an assembly in place, but surely Her Majesty's Government, through the Secretary of State, can bring some form of legislation through that will deal with this immediately, because I think it will get worse. And not just mental health issues, there's another raft of things coming down the line now that's affecting people. Universal credit, for example. People are coming into our office. We have a full-time caseworker on universal credit. People at their wit's end, they've been cut off. Money's been taken off them. Their money's not coming through. They don't know where they're going to get their next pound from. So there's a lot more issues coming down the line through universal credit. And PIPs and the amalgamation of all these benefits. And one of the things too, which is wrong, that through this, that, for example, anybody that's in housing benefit, that money is no longer going to be paid to the landlord. That money is going to be paid directly to the individual that claims it. What's going to happen there? How that money is going to be spent through. Yeah, people have actually said to yourselves, the men that don't want this to happen, they said, I know, I go over to the bookmakers there and spend it. I know, I buy more alcohol. The next thing I'd be evicted from the property. And that was putting undue pressure on people. So I commend the three councillors for bringing this motion forward, and we in the DUP support it.
Councillor Sharon.
Thank you, sir. I think, first of all, I would like to acknowledge the motion and bring it forward. I think it brings awareness, quite similar to my own motion back in March. But I also would highlight that, you know, there is members, as Mr. Walker said, who have had direct experience, and it does bring back bad memories, shall we say, but also good memories for those individuals who weren't part of our lives and who sadly aren't with us anymore because of the illness that is Susan. Chair, one statistic that scares me every time is that 1 in 5 adults will have a mental health issue, and around 45,000 children currently at any one time have a mental health issue. And Councillor Walker is right to a point where some of that does lead to suicide, but not always because of mental health. Northern Ireland does have the highest suicide rate in the UK, and I would like to correct Councillor Taylor in one thing. Historically, funding, yes, has been low within Northern Ireland, but actually it's been continuously cut time and time again. You know, in comparison to previous years, funding has been cut by 25% so far. Chair, the other thing that I've mentioned is, you know, there is organisations out there that are doing work, you know, PIPS, MyMy, ALT, Life Changes Lives, who get no assistance whatsoever. You know, these organisations are making and saving lives every day, and no one is supporting them other than through donations. You know, every organisation I've mentioned, they're self-fundraised. They get nothing, not from us as a council, nothing from organisations, you know, governments, agencies. You know, surely we could be doing a lot better. And just on the strategy, Protect Life 2, and although it will address many of the issues that are faced by those afflicted taking suicide, I have one major concern with that strategy, and it is that the target is not zero. You know, there is a target in there, but it's not zero. The rate of loss through suicide should be 0%. You should not be putting any other number against it. It should be no one should be dying due to suicide. So, Chair, I'd also like to propose an amendment, quite similar to Councillor Walker's comment, is that we include in the writing to the Secretary of State to enable extra funding to be identified for the delivery of such strategy. There's no point asking her to implement the strategy because she'll not have the money to implement it. So if we're asking her to do the strategy, we want the money to actually enable it to make a difference. And hopefully the proposers will accept that.
Thank you, Councillor Sullivan. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair. I do welcome tonight's motion, and it is that it's been tabled here in case we're dying and more of a chance of issue. So I do support the call of this motion that the Secretary of State be urged to do what she can in her power to order those that are in charge, for example, to release and secure much needed funding to underwrite this strategy and put in place actions, you know, to combat suicide. So also in relation, we need to make sure that mental health services and other related bodies are dealing with addictions, so addiction addiction services also to be given more money and a state into an area that has been starved of resources. So welfare reform is a key player skill to the switchover from PLA to PIPS. A lot of people who have mental health issues and that have been in the field of that are now disallowed because of the way the PIPS benefit is constructed. But again, I think it's a very good motion, and on a personal level, I do support this, and it's to be commended.
Thank you. Councillor McMurray?
No, just, yeah, fully in support. Just as well, I want to bring another whole more points, but just again, to draw the point that 25% less funding for mental health in this part of the world and the rest of the UK, and also just maybe within the recommendations of the other forms of intervention, speaking from these active in the outdoors, I know that how that can help, outdoor activities can help people's mental health, and we want to be an outdoor capital of Northern Ireland, it's very, very important, our outdoor Cup of Ireland even, and also outdoor recreation and other interventions are not maybe as costly as being present. So I hope that's pretty, I'll also give 10 credit to my mind and other such organizations. I'm happy to support.
Thank you. Councillor Killens?
Yeah, sure, just on behalf of our party again, to concur with all the various figures at the stage, I assume we're very happy to support the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Tilley, would you like to sum up?
Chair, notice that it's a brief, I just want to thank all the parties that have been able to support the offers to this motion. It is a very important issue and a very, very important district and indeed the entire country and support what we do. Bring forward a collective voice on this matter, so we're calling for increased funding and police strategy to be implemented with a view to try and bring the figures to bear as outlined by Councillor Shawn. So that's all I have to say. So welcome the fact that everyone has supported that.
Okay, so everyone in favour of the motion?
Yeah.
That's amended, yes. Okay, so there was a notice of motion received from Councillor Aurora, who will propose a motion due to the absence of Councillor Larkin, and this is in accordance with Standing Order 16.1, Section 5.
Aurora, it should be called on this council to adopt the Motor Neurone Own Disease MND Charter. This five-point charter recognises the rights and priorities of people living with MND and of those who care for them. It promotes a standard for good care, which is designed to raise awareness and increase understanding of this debilitating disease. Motor neurone disease is a horrendous debilitating disease for which there is no cure. It is a rapidly progressing fatal disease that affects the brain and spinal cord. It can leave people locked in a feeling body, unable to move, talk, swallow, and eventually breathe. MND kills a third of people within a year, and over half within 2 years of diagnosis. Up to 5,000 adults on these islands are affected at any one time. Approximately 6 people are diagnosed each day, and 6 people die every day from this disease. MND affects people from all communities. Each and every one of us has a 1 in 300 risk of developing MND in our lifetime. Within the community I represent over a period of 5 years, I witnessed several of my friends and neighbours suffer terribly with this condition. This year, the MND Regional Conference was held in Antrim for the first time in 25 years. My contact, Mickey Brady, MP, attended and watched there met families from this district who have experience of this disease. At the conference, the MND Association requested that those present lobby their local council to adopt the MND Charter. The 5 points of the Charter are thus: 1. The right to an early diagnosis and information. 2. The right to access quality care and treatment. 3. The right to be treated as individuals and with dignity and respect. 4. The right to maximise their quality of life. 5. Carers of people with MND have the right to be valued, respected, listened to, and well supported. The aim of the Charter is to ensure everyone understands and respects the rights of people with MND and their carers so that they are given the very best opportunity to access the care they need to live the highest quality of life possible and to achieve dignity in death. Ultimately, it aims to support working towards achieving the vision of the right care in the right place at the right time for people with MND and their carers. The Charter has helped raise awareness of MND. It creates the opportunity for all of us to promote understanding of MND and to interact with other government agencies to provide the services and support needed by these families. Over 33,000 individuals and organisations have signed up to the Charter, and I would respectfully request that this council do the same. Or whatever.
I think it's very, very important motion of the MND Charter, because the Father has just said, it's all the raise awareness in this area, and as you're saying, the 5 points. I think in the first point, the right to an early diagnosis and information is key in this charter. And I suppose over 10 years ago, I was sitting watching a couple of games for a cousin, and that's a member of the game, a few years. when it's going to walk through the division and an awful lot of us. And that was the start of Motor Neurons teams taking over. Or it could only be described as taking over Kathleen's body. And in the early days, it was the diagnosis that was the most frustrating. Because people in the community didn't understand the symptoms of Motor Neurons. And suppose this is what this chart of the campaign is all about. I mean, the stroke campaign, the acronym BAST, anybody can take off any words about it because the campaign has been so successful. You talk about face, hand, speech, tape. And I think the same with the child should be done with motor neurons. The loss of balance, the loss of grip in your hands, as Kathleen's hands come in, still no difference. And I think that's the most important thing. And if anything that this child can do is educate people on disability and disease, I think it would be a charm of what we've got. And also, just another crucial point is the care of people. Our boss problem does absolutely everything for his wife, his their wife, who has been totally locked into her body. And if I were to talk about the amount of people that are sick for the things that are changed in disease, and the leg pain is yet, or the leg expectancy is yet, there are people that are locked in. In for a year or then. So they cannot do anything. They can't move, cannot speak, cannot feed themselves, walk themselves. And that is a huge, huge undertaking from those who care about. And any support from those members must be provided, not be by local councillors for this care. So again, I want to thank our taking the motion.
Mr. Harvey.
Thank you, Chair. As we in this council put health matters first, we're happy to support and adopt the motion and thank those who brought us here today. Other councils have already adopted the charter and various cities to ban and apply. Cyber for our council in London, they were the first to apply. 77 other councils, UK wide, have applied and 123 have been approved. So we're trying harder to support the motion set there to the 5 points and all the research on it that's really worked out. And just to reconsider at a later stage, we could maybe ask the Motor Neuron Disease Association to make a presentation or interpretation to us and not ask after the event. It's maybe something that we could consider. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Harvey. Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. I think the two last motions are just trying to make me cry tonight. So I lost my uncle over a year ago now to motor neuron disease, and if he was, I don't like using the word locked into his body, for 20 years, he suffered from motor neuron disease. The one biggest challenge, and I do accept early diagnosis is certainly a challenge, but the biggest challenge that we found as a family was treatment for. You know, my Uncle Jimmy would have went down to Dublin every quarter to try and get treatment. You know, he was willing to try anything to try and keep his life as long as he possibly could, because there's nothing in Belfast that could have treated or given him the extension of life that he had. Motor neuron disease probably 20 years ago was unheard of, and obviously you think back to now, you know, after my uncle was buried, there's two others not long after him that were buried with motor neuron disease that only lived for 6 months. You know, there's such difference in the story. Motor neuron disease, you know, isn't known, and the charter that's being suggested will certainly bring that awareness. But it also is awareness of those that don't seek help. There is carers at home that are providing for their families. You know, they don't seek help from district nurses whenever times get really tough, whenever things they can't do anymore. You know, my uncle Jimmy ended up, he couldn't feed himself. You know, he worked up to the point where he was painting with his mouth. You know, he was still going out and working and painting with his mouth. just wanted to fight it and never allow it to defeat him. So, Chair, I think it's a fantastic thing. The only thing I have an issue with the motion is I'm not being a critical. It's not since being called for. You know, this should just say that we call on this principal. We should not have a title name in there. We should not make a video. It should just say we call on this principal.
No problem.
Okay, Councillor Burgess?
Yeah, I agree with the last speaker there, so that has been agreed. And thank you very much for that. We in the Unit probably will support this motion. Motor neurons disease is an awful disease, not just for the person who gets it, but those people who try to help and support the family and the doctor. And any help and support that we can give, I think that's good. And we do look to support the charter. And also, you just probably do support them.
Thank you. Okay, Councillor Carr?
Yeah, John. Well, I have the point I was going to make. I thought it was a technical error there with Sinn Féin calls on when it should really say this council calls on. But I would thank Barbara for bringing the motion. It can be very emotive. It's also a very good friend tied up with it. It's a kind of screw disease and very limiting for the individual over a long period of time. So I support the motion as amended.
Thank you. Everyone? Okay, so is everyone in agreement in the motion? Yeah. So then we're in agreement.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, so it's been motion is carried on. So kind of a proposal and a seconder to go into committee deal with the last item, Councillor Stiles, Councillor McIntyre.
Just want to suggest that we send a book here to Iris if it hasn't already become on behalf of the council. I'm sure which are
ahead of you. So we can get this, so we get the recording about this. So proposed and seconded by the committee was proposed Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor McAteer. Okay. And members are asked to approve Council Poverty Heart Leave of Absence from Council Business for a period of up to 12 months due to ill health. That was proposed by Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Walker. And now it's agreed.